Every morning of every day, it brightened up his life. Since the age of 17, it had been the twinkle of his eye, and the first time he saw it, his heavy jaw dropped and dried his saliva instantly. 2173 Berkham Drive was a beautifully constructed mansion with fine and intricate gargoyles adjoining each corner of the 12-bedroom manor. The massive rosewood front doors stood under a huge vaulted balcony that was tall enough to accommodate the finest and largest of coaches. The two large stained glass windows adorned the front walls like magically colored eyes that observed everything with old age and wisdom. The coach house to its right was fashioned in the same manner as the main estate, and had four garage doors. After his first encounter with the mansion, it became what he woke up for, what he opened his eyes for, and what he accepted his daily battles for. It was now his one and only joy in life. Walking by every morning made him fill with gladness, and kept him going during the long, empty days. From that day on, his new goal in life was to one day make this house his own. He didn't know how, but he would spend every last minute and penny for it. Decade after decade, century after century, the house was never put on the market. Not once. The family that owned it, he found out, was a very wealthy Swiss family, the Harsons, and the house had been passed down from generation to generation since its construction in 1723. He knew that the chances of it ever being sold were very slim, but he never lost hope. But one day, on October the 25th, 1978, it was put on the market for the first time in 255 years. £7 million starting bid, and not a penny less. The auction was to be held the 1st of November, a Saturday, and a large number of bidders were expected. The evening before, Worcestershire's little airport received a flood of private planes arriving from the most exotic places, such as Fiji, and the wealthiest of dukes from the surrounding shires. At around the middle of his life, it had become brutally clear to him that he would never be able to afford his dream home, even if it were to be put on the market one day. He worked as a small-town mason for Herson and Sons, and made a modest salary of £13,000 a year, and this, since the age of 19. He had, until now, saved up just around £95,000, not even a 70th of the starting bid. But if he couldn't own it, then nobody could. So during the years, he concocted a plan for when the house would finally be put on the market. The moment he found out the manor was to be sold off, he rented the finest complet he could find and walked around town asking any man who would stop and listen for a favor. He stood in town square in his fine silk outfit and with his dark red wood cane with brass handle hanging from his arm, looking delightfully wealthy. "Excuse me, sir, do you have a minute?" The men, normally quite surprised by the seemingly wealthy man wanting to talk to them, stopped and listened to what he had to say with surprising patience. "Sir, I would like to ask you to do something for me. You would be paid handsomely, of course." "What do I have to do?" the men then asked. "Well, it's quite simple, you see. I'm a very important person in the business world, and I cannot simply show my face at a commoner's event. Now, the 2173 Berkham Drive will be auctioned off this Saturday, and I would like you to go and bid for me. I will give you a place where we will meet after you have won the auction, and I will write you a check that you would then hand over for them to me. You will be paid £1,000 for your services after everything is taken care of." Quite stunned and confused by this proposal, most men left muttering something like, "Yeah, whatever." And only one had the nerve to stay and answer. "And what if I decide to cash in the check to my account?" "Well, then I would have you killed. Simple as that." After a short pause, the man answered, "All right, I'll do it." "Simply wonderful," the Shamrich said. "You may spend as much as you must. No price is too high. Now, here's what you have to do." After having given the bidding man the meeting place and time for after the auction, He returned his complet and went back to his flat above Josh's tavern, where he cried himself to sleep for the next 2 hours. In the Sunday paper, he read that a bidder bought the house for a stately £12.5 million. His bidder, of course. On Monday, he read, "High bidder of Harson Estate jailed for fraud." Perfect, he told himself. Now I have about a month to find another bidder. With all the paperwork and all, and 4 weeks should suffice. He then once again rented his complet and stood at the large town park asking men for a favor. After 5.5 years of fraudulent bidding and 28 innocently jailed men, he once again rented out his usual complet and stood at Town Square in one of the wealthiest parts of London. He could no longer ask men in his local Worcestershire. His trick was now known to authorities, who kept a close eye on his favorite hunting spots. Thankfully, the story hadn't spread too fast, and momentarily, it was still only his local community who knew of the frauds. After the average 15 minutes of wait, a man by the name of Andrew Chesterfield stopped and listened to his proposal. "All right," he said without a pause. "I'll do it." "Brilliant," the faux riche answered. "Now here's what you'll have to do and where you'll meet me." The auction was to be held on a Thursday evening in a highly secret location. So, on Thursday, Andrew arrived at the auction held at a gentleman's club in downtown London, which included a quick tour of the house before the bidding began. From the moment the limousine full of potential bidders rolled up the cobblestone driveway of the Harson estate, Andrew Chesterfield's eyes grew and saliva dried instantly. He had never seen such a glorious thing in his life. The magnificent windows staring upon him with wise age, the wonderful heavy cherry wood door, and the delightfully wealthy coach house on its right. This beauty of a home had same second become what he would cherish for the rest of his life. He pulled out his own checkbook, disregarding the address to meet the odd man who wanted him to bid for the house, and wrote a check for £25 million on the spot, and gave it to the auctioneer, who fainted after his eyes grazed the amount. On Friday, he got up and went to get the newspaper. It read, "Famous lawyer Chesterfield bought Harson Estate for £25 million. Paid same night. Nightmare over." He gradually let the paper sink back to his lap, and slowly cramps started tearing at his feeble heart. He fell to the ground and saw the magnificent cherry wood door swing closed.